Welcome to the Coach Marketing Podcast, where every single week you can tune in and listen to the latest and greatest marketing strategies used in the coaching industry so you don't get left behind, so you can get your message out, make a bigger impact, and change more lives with your coaching. Now, who are your hosts? Luke Charlton and Steve Martilli.
Hey, and welcome to the Coach Marketing Podcast. This is Luke Charlton and Steve. How are you going? Back for another episode.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm going good. You got a new mic this episode.
Oh, I thought I was using the same ones last time, but yeah, I don't know. Do I sound better?
Yeah, you do sound a little bit better. It's just horrible before. No, I'm just kidding.
Right on.
All right. So, we ended with in the last, we were speaking about last episode was the Secret Formula by Russell Brunson, and we went through the four steps of like attracting your dream client. So, what we decided to do is we'll go through the four steps quickly again, so we can go back and. And you can remember where we left off, and then we're kind of go a little bit deeper into steps 3 and 4, which we'll get to in a second, to kind of put it all together to help you, start attracting those ideal clients. So if you remember the secret formula, step 1 was pick your dream client. And the importance of, we've all heard of choosing a niche. When you do pick your dream client, it just opens up a world of possibilities for you for your coaching practice, because not only are you working with that ideal person that you really want to work with, which is the energy giving clients as opposed to the energy sapping clients, you understand them on a much deeper level, so you understand what's going to motivate them and obviously what's going to motivate them to work with you. And once you pick that ideal client, we lead into step 2, which was finding out where they hang out. You only know where your dream client's going to be hanging out if you first define who that dream client is. So once you've picked, for example, your dream client is a CEO or a small business owner, an entrepreneur in, say, the green business industry, you're going to know kind of what magazines they read, what seminars they attend, where they hang out online, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook. And then you're able to start attracting them as clients, which leads into step 3, which was to pull them in with a lead magnet. And that means to kind of give them something of value, put something out there of value where they hang out. That's going to make them put their hand up and say, yes, I'm interested in that. And that interest is obviously something to do with what you help them with in your coaching, whether it's weight loss or career transition or growing their business, whatever that might be. And then we lead into step 4, what is their big dream and their big outcome, which we will go into again, which Steve is going to go into toward later on in the episode. So why don't we, Steve, do you want to go into step 3? We'll start with, pulling them in with a lead magnet, because I think we spoke quite extensively on the first episode around steps 1 and 2, picking your ideal client and finding out where they hang out. So what does it mean to kind of pull them in with a lead magnet?
Well, I want to build on something you said too, because you were talking about the type of client, and it's really interesting. I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I was working with a kitchen renovator, okay? Mm-hmm. And he was a business owner, older gentleman in the States. I think he was in Long Island, lived in Long Island. Anyways, he had this kitchen renovation business. It was like this guy's passion. It was the thing that he just, he could do it all day. He actually hated running the business. He just wanted to do that all day. And, mm-hmm. He's the CEO as well, right? But these guys have like their own magazines and they have their own target market. And so I, the reason I bring it up is because if you have a past trade, let's say you were in a specific trade, my trade is actually my technical trade is I went to university as an engineer, right? A mechanical engineer. Mm-hmm. If you have a trade, what happens is that really sets you apart because you understand what it means to be in that trade. So the reason I bring up kitchen renovators is, like, if you've done, there was a guy that I met that worked with a lot of mechanics, and then he started showing other mechanics how to build their business online. And he's a coach, right? So he falls under the label of coach. But the point is that, you know, you don't have to reach that far sometimes to find out who your target market is, because it might be something you've already done in your past life experience. And you can all of a sudden take that and become a mentor, a coach, or a guide or support system for these business owners. So to just say you're a business coach, yeah, there's a lot of people that do that. It's hard to stand out. But if you just work with kitchen renovators, well, that's a whole other thing. Now, a kitchen renovator might not be looking to necessarily for a coach. He probably doesn't even know what a coach is, because I know this guy didn't. His name was John. But he was looking to grow his business. And that was the first thing we did on our call was, what was your big goal? Like 12 months from now, where do you want to be, right? The old Dan Sullivan question. We can talk about that another time. But,
yep.
You know, it's like 12 months from now, where do you want to be? And it's really important to ask that, because if you don't know, like, and you might not know, right? You might not know exactly where that person wants to be. But I remember when we spoke, he was like, 12 months from now, I want to be at least $1 million in business. And then he wanted to open other franchises and that sort of thing. So the thing is, and maybe you have franchise experience, but the thing is that everyone's got in something that they've already done, their life experience. I mean, if you've got to have some sort of experience or something of value to offer these business owners. But if you have something specific that you've done, then what happens is it gets you to stand out from the crowd, and all of a sudden you become attractive to the market, right? Like I said, they're not necessarily looking for a coach, but are they looking to grow their business? Maybe do $1 million plus in their business, or $3-4 million plus in their business, or $500,000 in their business? Yeah. And if you can help them do that by putting a couple systems, helping them with productivity, time management, it's really comes down to, are you willing to help, and do you have a few skills that other people don't? And sometimes I think that's what a lot of coaches take for granted. They're like, I'm just going to be a life coach, because I just want to coach people. But they're taking for granted these skill sets that they do have, because these are the resources or the tool belt that you pull from when you're on these calls with these clients, is that you have this tool belt, so that anytime you're like, oh, this person's really terrible with their time, boom, you pull that out. And it's like you've got a system for that. So not necessarily that's going to necessarily be the thing that sells the person on you being their coach, but if putting time management in place helps them be more productive, so they focus on the sales and marketing part of the business or some other aspect that they're passionate about and get someone else to do the business growth drivers and those activities, then what happens is you become an asset to that business owner, because you're helping them grow the business. So again, they're not looking for a coach, they're looking for results. So, and that's what the big dream is all about, right? So the big dream is all about, what is the big dream? I'm going to start actually with step four. It's like, what is the big dream? Where do they want to end up? Mm-hmm. And it may take a few conversations with different clients to figure out where the mechanic wants to be. Maybe the mechanic wants to have a full, you know, he wants to be busy 3 days a week, but he doesn't want to work, you know, 5 days a week. He's just like 3 full days, and then he wants that. So there's got to be certain things in place for that to work. And if you've worked in a shop before, then you'll know what things need to be in place. You know what I mean? Certain billing aspects, certain revenue generating activities or aspects. But at the end of the day, I know there's one mechanic. It's what we're going to be sharing with you is very similar to what we would share to like any business owner, is not just a coach, but if you have if you're a mechanic, one of the things I don't know where I read this, but there was this one mechanic. He actually had a little leaflet. It was like a 20-page little special report that he kept in the waiting room. Okay, so people bring their cars in, go to the waiting room, boom, there's this little report there. And then like, oh, can I read through this? And it's like, you know, like, I can't remember, it's like 5 tips to improve performance of your car or something. I think it's geared towards men, and because most of the clients were men. And it was something really simple, but people read it while they were waiting. And then what they did is it really educated them. It provided value to them. That's your lead magnet. That's all your lead magnet does. It doesn't have to be going to an opt-in or a squeeze page. You just need to help people for free, right? For free. Now, we're not saying give away the farm. And in the most cases, if you pick a really good big dream goal that you're going to help these people create, your clients, what you'll find is that a 20-page report does not cut it. That doesn't help that person get the results. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't want to give away the farm, well, maybe you're thinking too small. You should be thinking bigger. What's the big goal? What's the big dream that this person has? Not that you have. What is the big goal that this dream? Because if you help these your clients reach their dreams, then you're going to reach your dreams. Okay, that's really that simple. So you want to focus on what is the big dream, and then help them get there with initial, like just one staircase, one little jump up. That lead magnet, that special report, just gets you a little bit higher, so that you can figure out what it is that they want to do. And if you get them a little bit, if you get them just a tiny little step up, what happens is you educate them to provide value. That's the basis of educating education-based marketing. You've provided value. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, wow, this is a person I can come to that does it. And like I said, if you think that you're worried about, well, I don't want to give away the farm, then you're probably not thinking big enough.
Exactly. I love that analogy that you said, you know, stepping up the staircase. So that's kind of one of the ones that I use when I'm educating educating coaches as well. It's like if you want to stand out in the marketplace, picture yourself or your prospect at the bottom of a staircase, and right at the top of their staircase is their big dream, their big outcome. Well, down the bottom of the staircase is your prospect, and then there's thousands of other coaches and products and services crowded around them saying, you know, invest in me and I'll help you get to the top of the staircase. Well, if you use your lead magnet at give value for free, what you've done is what you said there, Steve, is you've helped them up that staircase one or two steps. And now suddenly the air is a lot clearer up there, right? When you've moved them forward towards their goal without asking anything in return. But I think the most important thing to note here is the thing with education-based marketing is that you get to educate them the way that you want to educate them. Like, you're still helping them towards their goal, but you're helping them up your staircase. And I think that's really important, because when you're helping them up the staircase that you've built for them, it's what kind of differentiates you from all the other coaches. And they can choose to continue. You know, you've helped them halfway up the staircase with great free information, a lead magnet, free reports, et cetera, et cetera. And they can choose to, you know, continue with you. And of course, that is, you know, investing in your services, because at the end of the day, there's going to come a point in time when they realize that they need, if they want to get to the top of that staircase, they're going to have to invest in your services. And that's why, you know, what you said there, Steve, is important on, you know, don't be too afraid of giving away the farm. You really can't give away too much. That's been my experience anyway. You want to give them as much as possible, help them up the staircase as much as possible, because at the end of the day, your best clients are going to be the ones that are going to say, hey, I'm sick of kind of, you know, going up this staircase, you know, alone on foot. I need, you know, I'd rather take, you know, the helicopter up to the staircase. Helicopter, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, fast,
I get some
fast
type of boost. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
And your best clients are the ones that are going to want to invest. The ones that want to nickel and dime you and the ones that want everything for free, well, they're never going to invest anyway. They'll just take all of your free information. But that's okay. You know, you're still helping them. But your best clients are the ones that are going to say, look, I want to get to the top of the staircase now. Like, Steve has amazing information. I know he's the expert for me. He's been helping me already in so many other ways for free. And that law of reciprocity kicks in as well. And that's when they reach out and invest with you. But it all starts with, of course, you know, that knowing what their big dream is and what their big outcome is, and that lead magnet. And I think it's important, once you define that ideal client, is figuring out what you kind of work backwards from there, figuring out what their dream, their big dream outcome is, you know, having the end in mind, as Stephen Covey would say, and then working back through your lead magnet. That's going to make your message that much more compelling as well.
Yeah, and again, so, you know, so I hear this a lot, and there'll be coaches, well, I don't want to give away too much, because then it's like, that's my baby, that's my process, I've patented it, right? I've gotten legal papers, and it's copyrighted, and oh, dude, I got like a blog that I wrote for 5 years, and it's uncopyrighted, I just give away the content for free. And there's still people that buy my prosperity formula, which is a product and a training that I delivered on how to become attracted to the market and create attract wealth. It still sells. People actually go to the blog, people share the blog articles, but then they dive deeper. It's like you said, Luke, there's going to be those people that want to go the next level, and they know that if they want to get to the fastest way, then maybe some sort of specialized training is what they need to do that. And if you say to yourself, well, I don't want to give this away, give that away, then maybe you're thinking too small about the bigger thing, the bigger picture, but what that person really wants. You know, that let's go back to the mechanic. Maybe the mechanic wants to build a $1 million shop, but he also wants his 3 days off so he can spend more time with his family. And maybe he doesn't have a good relationship with his wife, so you're going to end up coaching him around that. You have no idea. And that's in some of the, a lot of the case what ends up happening. And so what you want to think about is, what is the bigger package? What is the bigger theme that I'm going to help them develop? What is the bigger game for this person? Because if you know that inside out, then you can deliver on it and you feel confident you could deliver that, then you look at this one little free thing, this free report you're giving away, and you just think to yourself, you know, that. And this is the other part, is that some coaches, they've learned a process because they went to coaching school. You know, they've learned from other coaches. They didn't learn how to market their business, which is, you know, that's a whole nother story, but they didn't.
we can talk to have another episode.
Oh yeah. So they didn't learn how to market their business, which is fine, because that's not what coaching school, you know, like these certification programs teach you to do. They teach you to be a coach. Mm-hmm. But then you come out and you're like, I just want to coach everyone. And then you realize that no one wants to buy coaching, because they don't. They just want to buy results. And then you realize, okay, well, I need to get them a result. And then all of a sudden, you know what happens is that you realize, I need to be accountable for the results that I'm going to help my clients create. All right? So you got to be accountable, but they need to be accountable. But you're both working in concert together to reach this big goal. And when you realize that that's what working with these higher ticket clients is, it's a partnership, then there's a way better chance that you're going to actually help them reach their goal, right? Mm-hmm. You give them a few tools, but some coaches, they have one process, one tool, and then they like give that away and they're like, well, I got nothing else. And it's like, well, dig deeper. You have reservoirs. Don't just think of coaching. As I said, think of your experience. Maybe you're really good at influencing people. Maybe you're really good with communication. Maybe you're a really good listener, right? So you're helping the mechanic with his wife because the guy never listens. You know what I mean? Like, and it's simple, like little steps, little questions that you can help him develop those skills. Because it is a skill. That's all it is. So think of it as you're building an investment in your client to help them reach their big outcome. But the big outcome is their big dream. And you might, like I said, you might have to talk to some of these clients to figure out what their dream really is. But here are some questions I just pulled out of Russell Brunson's book, .com Secrets, that we talked about last episode, that will help you determine what that big dream is for you, or sorry, for your client. So here are some questions. So first obvious question, who are my dream clients? Okay. And you really want to focus on that. So you might want to write these down, grab a pen and write these down so that you can refer them later for your notes and just focus on them to generate that big picture. So who are my dream clients? What do they look like? This is interesting. What Russell did in the book is he, in his book, .com Secrets, he said, you know, I went in and I picked out a name for what I thought my ideal client was. Okay. So he said like Jerry. Then he goes out and he picks a name for a girl and he's like, Christine. And then he goes and he Googles the names. And then the first image he sees of that person, he posts it on like a board, a cork board, so he can see it. So he said there's a lot of power to be able to visualize your clients. If you don't have any clients right now, then that's a very powerful exercise, because now there's a certain person in front of you and you're like, they might not look like that, but it gives your dream building substance, okay? So the other thing is, so what do they look like? What are they passionate about? Right? What are they really excited about? If you're working with a CEO, maybe it's like building teams, right? He loves working with teams. He loves inspiring teams. And you're just kind of like the back orchestrator to help him give him the tools so that he can do that at a higher level. And so what are they passionate about? Okay. So who are my dream clients? What do they look like? What are they passionate about? Here's another great question. What are their dreams, goals, and desires? Okay. And here's one thing that I've found in my experience. The more desirable that the dream is for your dream clients, the more desirable it is, the more you can charge, okay? Now, I'm not saying you should go and double your rates because it's very desirable, but you know, maybe with new clients, you've gotten to a point where you realize people want what you can do for them really bad. They want it so bad that, you know, your rates can go up and they will still pay for you. Because think of it this way. This is very Christian Mickelson, and he was very instrumental in helping me realize. He said, there are a lot of people who can't afford your coaching fees. He also said there's a lot of people who can more than afford your coaching fees. And he's right. There's both sides. It's not just the older people that can't afford. There's a polarity there, right? So there's a lot of people that can, they just look at your fees. You could charge $10,000 a month and just like, yeah, that's like a drop in the bucket for me, you know? So there's people on both sides. And then the last question is,
just important on that before you go on. It's because I know there's a lot of coaches out there afraid to raise their fees because afraid of cutting off other people that can't afford them. It's like that you can still serve those people. You don't have to. Actually, writing about this just yesterday, but you can still serve those people. Just don't base your business model around people that can't afford your coaching. Just take the Tony Robbins approach. You serve the people. You know, you charge the people that can afford your coaching. And then you give back your time and expertise to those that can't, you know, pro bono work and stuff like that. But you don't base your business model around people that can't afford your coaching.
Yeah. And what you could do is you could do a couple things. So there are a lot of people who can't afford my coaching, but I have lower end products that deliver a lot of value.
Exactly because,
You know what I mean? And you can do that as well. I mentioned the prosperity formula, but that's like a live training of me like taking people through these three steps to prosperity, and it's just habitual things you need to do daily in order to become magnetic to the market and to attract wealth. And what I found is that just people listening to that, because it was a live training, is that there's just quite a bit of value in that. So if you have like something where you can just record yourself on a mic and then deliver that as a product, then what happens is that you're still helping the people that can't afford your coaching in that way as well. But I love the pro bono thing too. That's cool. So the last question is on, you know, who are my dream clients? What do they look like? You know, what are they passionate about? What are their dreams, goals, and desires? Is what result do you want to give them? I thought that was a great question because not that you're going to do it for them, and we're not saying that, but if you think of it as a partnership, and you have a role in it, and so is the coach or the client in this case that you're working with, then if you focus on your role and they focus on their role, there's a real commitment or a synergy, and you're both 100% accountable, then you want to ask yourself, if that was possible and anything else was possible for this client, what would their life look like? And that's the dream that you're offering to them, and that's the dream that you want to actually solicit and talk about in your marketing and talk about in your lead magnet, right? So maybe the big dream is something that relies on you to work with them one-on-one or do a, you know, a live conference or a live, you know, a live workshop where you're in front of them. However, if you think back, what would be the thing that would initially get them up the staircase before they got, because you can't bring them right to the top right away, because they're not working with you yet, but what would be the thing that would just give them a little notch up? And if you think of that, that's your lead magnet.
Well, that's, I think it comes back to that question that we, in the first episode, where we said, you know, what's that number one question on their mind? So for coaches, for example, for like new coaches especially, you know, where do I find clients? Maybe for more established coaches around, you know, the 50K mark who want to get to the 100K mark, you know, how do I charge more for the coaches that for the clients that I currently serve without scaring away, you know, more business. So, you know, for people that want to lose weight, so how do I find the perfect diet for me, or how do I lose weight without having to give up, you know, my favorite food? So, what's that number one question on your dream client's mind that you can? You don't have to. Sometimes you don't have to give them the whole. You can just give them an insight as to the way that they're going about things can be not the right way to achieve what they want. So, for example, let's say, you know, coming back to the lose weight thing, I know this because I used to be in the health and wellness and fitness industry. My free report that I gave away was kind of like a piece that educated them on why they yo-yo diet. Were yo-yo dieting, and the reason was because of the negative patterns in their life. You know, no matter what diet they chose, they're always going to, you know, lose weight and put it back on. And it's not because of the diet; it's because of their eating habits and their environment, and et cetera, et cetera. So, I was giving them an insight around the negative patterns around their environment being instrumental. But I wasn't actually, telling them how to solve it, because how to solve it, I mean, that's part of the coaching, right? We need to work one-on-one to get rid of those patterns. I gave them a few steps, but the point is I just gave them an insight as to why they were doing, why the next diet won't work. And that kind of helps them up the staircase, if that makes sense. Like, even just an insight makes them, hugely thankful, and it helps them see kind of like the error of their ways, I guess you could say. And it just lets them know that, well, that this, I know now that this next diet that I'm going to go on is actually not going to help me. So what do I need to do? That's kind of like their next question. But you have to answer that first question on their mind, like, how do I lose weight, or how do I, find a job that I love without sacrificing my income? That type of thing. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yeah, well, I was just going to give an example, because, like, so the coaches that I targeted, I'm targeting the same issue that I had, right? So I've kind of solved my own problem, which was I was able to get, like, clients, sporadically, or it's like, oh, this is the best. It's Christmas time, and it's like, I'm going to finally do this. And then someone, they got some money, or they got a bonus for their job, and they're like, they're ready to go, which is what happens sometimes, right? It's just sporadic, which is fine. But my big thing was, okay, that's great, but that's not a steady income for me. So how do we create a steady stream of clients? And not only how do I create a steady stream of clients, how do we create a steady stream of income, like an income that is either always the same or growing? And that's what I talk about. And I basically give my client rush formula, my four-step formula, I give that to coaches, because that's the thing that I struggle with. It's like, well, I figured this out, so now you can check it out for yourself. And I hope you don't mind me, I do a plug, Luke.
No, man, plug all the way.
You go to clientrushformula.com. So yeah, clientrushformula.com. So yeah, it's just, but that's the thing, right? Is that was my big thing. I was like, okay, well, I did a promotion to my list, but then it's like, okay, well, that brought in a bunch of clients. And I remember doing that one summer, and I was just so thrilled because I'd gotten like 7 or 8 clients in within 2 weeks. And I'd done this promotion to my email list. They just loved it. And people started signing up in droves. But then I was like, 2 months later, I was like, okay, now what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right. So it's scary.
So that was a big issue for me, right? So what I did is I said, well, here's the formula that I've developed. I filled that need. And what I've done is I've created a special report that shares the 4-step formula that I use. So do I go into it full depth into exactly how it works? No, because you need either a full day training or a half day training, and like some one-on-one timing for actually get the full thing. But just grabbing the report itself will give you a lot of insight on how I did it and how you can. So yeah, so again, that's another example of a lead magnet. It answers the number one question that someone has, and this is the subtle thing, is that it might not be a question that's apparent. It might be what is unsaid that they're looking for. And that, right. And that honestly that's why it's taken me so long to like get to the point where I was like, oh, that's what it is. I'm like, that was what I was looking for. It's like, yeah, steady stream, but also like consistent income. But that's a lot of businesses. They're looking for that sort of thing. But for me, that was really specific. And that's what I focus on. So other people, coaches who are looking for other things that I'm not looking for them, and they're not looking for me, which is okay. Right. So that's again where I'm kind of like narrowing in, I'm picking a need or a niche. And I'm like, I'm going to focus on this. But all the other people, the other coaches that, want to build a successful coaching business, maybe they want to go to 6 figures, 7 figures, whatever they want to do, they might not necessarily be a good, fit for me. They might not resonate with what I share. And that's okay, because I'm segmenting the market, right?
Exactly right. But I think there's probably the coach listening right now is thinking, well, what is that lead magnet right for me in my market? Well, first, again, it comes back to picking your dream client, defining who that is. And then I think it's important, especially for step four as well, what's that big dream outcome? And we mentioned before, but I really want to kind of drive it home. It's that you go out and you ask them. So you go out and you survey your dream client. And they're going to give you information. They're going to give you literally gold will pour out of their mouth, because they're going to tell you things about their situation, about their challenges, about their dreams, their hopes, their desires, etc., that you had no idea were in there. And this is all stuff that you can use in your marketing. But also, they're going to answer questions like, you know, what's the number one question on their mind? You know, if I could just solve one problem for you, John Smith, you know, what would that be, as it relates to, you know, losing weight or changing career or, you know, building the best kitchen in the world, whatever that is. And then they're going to give you that information. And then from there, then you can go and create your lead magnet. You can go and create coaching programs for them. I think this is true for a lot of marketers. I'm not just coaches. They try to guess what their market wants, especially with, you know, products and services. They try to, and I think this really, really hurts their business. I think they're kind of afraid of, if they go to their market and survey their market and ask, you know, where is it that you're stuck at the moment? You know, what can I create next for you? It's like they fear that they're going to not be seen as an expert, for example. But I see the exact opposite. Like I figure if I can survey my potential, my ideal prospects, and get them, I've seen this done over and over again by really top marketers, but they survey their prospects and they say, you know, where are you stuck? What would you like me to create next? 2 weeks later, they come out with a promotion saying, hey, you know, I've got your feedback, and you know, the number one question was, how do I get clients off Facebook? So what I've done is I'm going to put together my best training on how I've got clients from Facebook, and we're going to do a pilot program. And they launch a pilot program, and everyone loves that, because you know, everyone loves to get in a great deal on a pilot program, for example. And it's just another way that they're serving their ideal prospects in a way that their ideal prospects want to be served. So coming back to all of these steps, picking your ideal dream client, finding out where they hang out, and then, you know, finding out what they really want in a lead magnet, in the free report, and what their big dream outcome is, it's to go and to survey them. I think that's important, especially for, not even for new coaches, it's just something that we should all continue to do throughout our growing our coaching business, because at the end of the day, we are serving other people. And if we can more effectively serve them and add value, then that's what's going to make our business grow. So if you can go to your ideal target market and literally ask, you know, where are you stuck now? What do you need help with? And bring out a service, a product that can help them with that, then that's what's going to make your business grow. That is the importance of literally going, getting the information straight from the horse's mouth, and not trying to guess it. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yeah, you know what it does is, I was talking to my friend today who sells a lot of software, and the real, like, the theme that goes with what you just said is, it helps you build rapport with your audience, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be so out of, like, in a different stratosphere in the language you use, in the emails or the videos you shoot, that people are just like, where is he at? Like, or where, you know what I mean? Like, you need to build rapport with the audience. You need to be, and if you're like, and this is like very common, right? Like, here's the most common, and this is maybe a self-help thing, but I used to use this a lot. And I was like, okay. So, you know, are you stuck and struggling? Like, that's like the biggest headline I've ever seen. Yeah. Like, it's the most common. Okay. But does someone say to themselves, like, I'm stuck and I'm struggling? Okay, they might say that they're stuck, but that's a very generic term. It's not like a headache. It is, yeah. That's very specific. You know what I mean? They might feel anxiety, okay? If you have anxiety, then there's a certain solution for that. You gear your coaching around your products, your entire business around that, and there are people who do that. Anger management. Mm-hmm. I'm freaking pissed all the time, right? Not that I am, but I'm angry, right? It's like you feel a certain way, and people, those are the words you use. I'm angry, or I'm upset, or I'm like, you know, all I see is red. Those are the things that people say that are angry, right? It's like, that should be the marketing language you use. So you really want to build, it's like we back where we say, you want to build rapport with your audience. So by serving, what happens is you're back in the community, you're understanding the language you're using, and then you can start using that language as well.
Exactly right. Man, we could do a whole other, I think we should do a whole other podcast on using the language that your target market uses. And that also comes back to the importance of understanding copy as well, which is kind of what you're an expert in with coaches, is helping them create, you know, great copy for their marketing material, which is, you know, at the end of the day, that's what's going to motivate your clients to want to work with you, is using the language they use and understanding their fears, their frustrations, and their desires. Maybe we should we define kind of what the difference between marketing is and what sales is, or maybe with that, we can leave that for another episode. We'll stick to the four steps for this one.
Well, okay. So I want to comment on that, but first I want to give another example for another lead magnet.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so this is one that is very obvious to me, because, you know, I'm mentioning earlier about being in a certain industry. If you're in an industry or you've worked in an industry, then you already know a lot of the desires, you know, fears, needs that people have. Okay. So I was past life engineer. And the thing is that when I got my license, okay, as an engineer, that's like, mm-hmm. I think in the States, it's saying, I think you need 4 years experience. So you graduate, 4 years later, boom, you get your license if you pass the test and all that stuff, but you need so much work experience. And guess what the most motivating thing is for engineers to get their license? They get a pay increase, right? So
wow.
A lead magnet, right? A lead magnet for someone that specific, and you could be a coach for engineers in career transition. Maybe they're getting their license, and you could. And there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of these engineers out there, men and women, who are around this kind of like transitional period, and they're like, how do I negotiate a bigger raise once I get my license? And you could develop an entire training, just an entire business, just around that. And at least I think so. And so the lead magnet for that might be how to get a, you know, 10 to 20% bump in your salary as you get licensed as an engineer. You know, like, and then maybe you give a couple tips on how to negotiate, you know, you're like, how do you start the conversation with your boss? You know what I mean? Or simple stuff like that. And if you've been in the industry, that's an easy thing for you to pump out. You just generate this MP3 that people listen to, and they sign up to your list, and you're like, this guy's a genius. And it's just because you've done it before, right?
That's right. I think it's important. I love that, this example, because it's really specific. I think that's, you know, another thing about a lead magnet, it doesn't have to be, you know, like a book or something. It sometimes the more specific the lead magnet, the better. I guess especially around advertising, if you're doing, you know, Facebook, for example, the more specific the lead magnet, to give them a really quick win, like you just said there, like how to have that conversation with your boss to negotiate a pay rise. That's a really, really specific problem that helps them up that, just that, you know, that first step on that staircase to getting a pay increase. And then, you know, maybe you're the coach that, you know, their big dream might be to, you know, be the top engineer of the company. And that's what you coach them around. So you're just helping them get that little win of getting that pay increase. So they're like, wow, this guy kind of, you know, really, or this girl really knows what they're talking about, right? What else do they know? And that's when they want to know how else you can help them up that staircase. And that's where your, you know, your podcast come in, but that's where your other low-end products and services can help them up that staircase as well. I think we should talk about another episode of kind of low barrier products and coaching programs to help them up that staircase. But coming back to that specific lead magnet, I think that can be really powerful as well. It doesn't have to be really long. It can be a 1 or 2 page PDF, and oftentimes they're the best, especially for getting leads on your website, as opposed to something really general, like, you know, how to live the life of your dreams. Here's my report. It's just so, like, you know, so general. It's not really speaking to anyone. But if you're like, you know, how to have the engineers, you know, how to have the conversation with your boss to negotiate a pay rise once you are certified, well, that is a really specific problem, and that is really targeting your problem that, you know, that your dream client has.
Yeah, well, think about it, right? So, you know, if you say, how to start the conversation to get a raise, while you're getting licensed as an engineer, all the people who are licensed as engineers don't even look at that page. So you're just getting the people who are going to buy your product anyways or buy your coaching. So it's right. perfect. It's like, oh, I don't want to segment and I don't want to, like, you know, no. You want to nail, like, you want to get real specific about who you're working with, because then you get on the phone and it's easy for you. You're like, you're charging these high fees, your products are worth more, and other people are looking at you and you're like, oh, I put up this, you know, report that says how to live your dream life and no one bought it or no one opted in. And it's like, yeah, because that's everyone, right? It's like, you know, does that make sense?
Well, I think we haven't even spoken about this, but, you know, picking do we even speak about this in the first episode? But, you know, picking your dream client and disqualifying, I think there's a real power in disqualifying. We can even talk about a whole podcast about that, about the power of disqualifying people from your, you know, that saying that you are don't serve these people, that you are only for, you know, for example, engineers, or, you know, if people over 40 trying to lose weight. I mean, not going to turn away business, but in your marketing materials, what I'm saying is that you're really specific about who it is that you serve and who your free reports are for. But you kind of just mentioned it there. But when you specialize and work with a specific client, and you're able to add value really, really specifically to a certain type of client, you just mentioned that you're able to charge a lot more as well. And it's just like, you know, when, I think we did speak about last time, when you go to you've got, like, for example, you need heart surgery. Well, you don't want to have that heart surgery fixed by, you know, your local general practitioner doctor. You want to go to the heart surgeon that specializes in heart surgery, right? That was the same for me, actually. Like, I had a bad back problem. And, you know, this is something that was really troubling me for years and years. And, you know, who do I want to get that fixed by? Do I want to get it fixed by the general practitioner doctor who didn't even really, you know, scan me? Or do I want to go to the best back specialist in town? And of course, I went to the best back specialist because I was in a ton of pain. And the advice that the initial doctor gave me just wasn't that specific, right? Because that's not their expertise. And who do you think charges more? Is it going to be the general practitioner doctor, or is it going to be the specialist back doctor who only works with people dealing with back pain and back issues? Obviously, it's the specialist. And that's the same for your coaching. So you pick your dream client and you disqualify other people and you work really, really specifically, and you say, you know, I only work with engineers, helping them, you know, increase their pay, get to the top of the company, become the number one engineer, et cetera, et cetera. You specialize in that area, you're able to charge a lot more for your services as well. I think that's the other danger of being a general, say, life coach or business coach, is that not only does it make it hard for you to stand out amongst other coaches when you try and serve everyone, but you're just not able to charge what you're worth either, and you're not able to speak specifically to the people's challenges, and therefore they don't understand the value that you bring to the marketplace, and they don't understand why they should be paying you more over the next coach that is also saying, you know, I can help you get, you know, build the life of your dreams, right? So by being really specific and focusing on specific challenges and adding value in a way that no other coach can, then they're suddenly you've put yourself into a different realm. They're not judging you on price anymore. They're judging you on value and the value that you bring. And it's almost like price isn't an objection anymore, because you're speaking so specifically to them and serving them in a way that no other coach can, that they now understand why they should be investing more in you than any other coach.
Yeah. Well, as far as price goes, I find that people who... okay, if people don't have the money, they don't have the money to invest with you. That's one thing, right? So that is what it is. And I wouldn't, I know some people say, well, you know, go into debt and invest with me. I'm not big on that. I just think that if you don't have the money, then you're probably not the right client for me anyways. So, you know, you do have the money, great. Then and we were a good fit, great. But the people who are, forget about price for a minute. The people who are confident, the people, the coaches, specifically, that are confident that they can help their client get their big dream or desired result, okay, mm-hmm. are going to get a lot less, if any, you know, buying resistance. Okay, assuming the other person has the money.
That's such a huge point. I'm so glad you brought it, but keep going.
So if you get on the phone and you've been studying, you know, kitchen renovations for the last 20 years. You've been doing it. You've owned your own business. Now you're getting the coach. You want to work with them. Okay. You get on the phone with your first couple clients and they tell you, you know, basically what they want to achieve. And then, and you're sitting there kind of doubting yourself. Well, can I really do it? I don't know about the market. You know, economy's not going so well. And this kind of buzz is running in your head, this self-talk. And then there at the end, you get to the end, you close your client, and basically you've told them your fees, you give them maybe a guarantee, maybe you haven't. And then they say, well, I don't really want to work with you, you know. And you know they have the money. Well, yeah, it really comes down to confidence.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, they're not sure because you're not sure, right? So if you're not sure that you can get them a result, then they're not going to be sure. Now, that's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. It was for me too, because I wasn't the most confident guy in working with these clients, and I'm like, why won't they sign up? You know, and it's like, you know, you've got a niche, and I remember when my first client signed up with sales. Client, he was a trainer out of Toronto, and he went bonkers, man. He was making 5 to 10 grand a month. We started working together. He had never made in 20 years, he'd never made more than 10 grand a month. Within 5 weeks, he made his first $15,000 a month. Within 6 months, he made 25 grand a month. And then I think he was up to 35 after 12 months. So he just went crazy. And I remember when he signed up with me, he goes, you know what, Steve? He goes, I'm going to sign up with you because what you just like shared with me. And he goes, I think you're really cool. He goes, I really like you. And boom, he signs up. It's like, so it's like, you know, but I was sure that I could get him the result. I was absolutely positive. I was like, you follow these things. I'm like, if you take action, this is going to happen for you. And, you know, and at the same token, it was a big pain for him. Pain in the ass, this him not being able to get through this threshold of $10,000 a month. And when he did, it was just like, oh, it's like, this is so much fun. It wasn't even about the money anymore. He's like, I'm having a blast. And I was like, awesome. So,
well,
yeah.
That's a good point. That's a really specific problem as well, like not being able to break past a certain threshold, like, you know, sales threshold for a salesperson.
Yeah.
And if you can give them some type of insight around what it is that might be holding them back, whether it's a limiting belief or maybe a technique that they're not using, well, that's going to, you know, that's an insight that's going to help them up the staircase, right? Sorry, just something that I noticed. I thought point out, but keep going.
Yeah, and I remember when we spoke on the phone, it was kind of like, I was like, I don't know which way this call is going to go, but we only talked for probably 30, 35 minutes, but he believed that I believed that I could help him, and that's why he signed up. It wasn't really because I had like some patented system and I've been researching crap for like, you know, people have systems. I'm not saying systems are bad, but I'm just saying that at the end of the day, if they don't believe you, they're not going to sign up. They're going to believe, if they believe you because you believe you can help them get results, then that's like a huge thing.
Yeah. That's, oh man, this is such a huge subject because this same thing happened for me as well. You know, especially in the first like couple of years when you're coaching, it's hard to, I want to know what you think around getting this belief in yourself, because it's so critical that when you, like for me now, like I know if a coach signs up with me, I'm certain, 100% certain, if they follow what I tell them to do, they are going to be successful, you know, and I have that 100% certainty and confidence in myself now. Right. This took me a while to, and this personally took me a long time to build up, to get to that certainty. I had to go through a lot of ups and downs in my own business to be able to get that certainty of just, you know, figuring things out of what doesn't work and what does work. So I guess my question to you is there a way for coaches, because it's so critical that when you're on the phone with a client, and we can probably do a whole, again, another whole podcast around this, but it's so critical that you believe in yourself and what you're selling. Actually, let me tell you a story. This is really cool. I used to work in a sports store here in Australia called Rebel Sport, and I was just selling sports equipment, but there was one area that I was kind of assigned to each week was around the treadmills and the heart rate monitors, and you know how you can get polar heart rate monitors. Well, there was a competing brand of for pole art, which is like kind of the industry standard. I can't even remember what they're called now. But anyway, there were a competing brand that had the they actually had more features than the Polar, and they had a longer guarantee. So whenever someone would come up and look at the heart rate monitors, I was like, I was so passionate about them choosing the other one, not the Polar one, but the competing one, because it was half the price, had like twice the warranty, had all these extra features. And man, I sold, because I was so confident in this product, I sold maybe 10 to 1 of this competing product. And then like 3 years later, this is like kind of the end of my working time there, I kind of like looked into the the instructions, and I found out that they had the exact same features, had the exact same warranty. It was kind of just buried in and amongst all of the other information, and I just didn't even know that. But because of my confidence and my certainty in this other product, I sold it like 10 to 1. And I think that, you know, I didn't, you know, unknowingly, I didn't know that the other one had like the same amount of features and same warranty. I just didn't know that. But I think it just goes to show that the confidence and the certainty that you have in yourself and in the, and what it is that you're selling, it literally has that 10 to 1 effect. So if you have this confidence in what you're selling in your coaching, that you know that if someone signs on with you, you can 100% help them get these breakthroughs, that's going to come across in the way that you sell and when you speak to them, and the way that you write in your emails, and you know how you present yourself in speaking, in presentations and networking events, and that's going to lead to more sales. But my question is, how is it that, is there a way that coaches can get this confidence now, or is it something that they kind of have to just go through and build up? Is it in the system that they come through, the teacher training? What is it? What's your view on that?
Yeah, I guess part of it is a life experience, right? So you've got this contrast between things that you feel certain about and things that don't work, and then there's things that you feel very certain about that do work. And I know from, you know, marketing and being online for 8 years is that I have a certain confidence around writing copy, but that came with a lot of struggle and a lot of writing, so a lot of experience, right? I wasn't as certain when I first started. So yeah, I think experience is a big part. I was gonna throw this out too, is that, you know, the people you hang out with, oh man, that has, I don't know, like that so has true. Such a big impact. There's a guy at the gym that I work out with, or I don't work out with him, but he's a manager there, and my wife was talking to him, and he grew up in like a really poor part of the city that we live in. And like really poor, like not so food stamps poor, but like, you know, like government assistance, you know, real, real bad. And so he grew up that way, and then he got a little bit of education. Now he's a manager. And he was telling my wife that his mom still like, oh, you're never going to get that job at that gym fitness, you know, place. And he ended up getting it. And it's like, but to have people like that in your life taking you down, get rid of them, because if there's a sure thing that's going to take away your certainty around anything, is that. So, you know, hang out with people that are certain of themselves. Get on our podcast every week. You know, like, you know, you hang around with us for a little bit, or you and other coaches that are really certain about what works and what is tried and true in the industry, you're going to get that certainty too. What do you think, Luke?
Yeah, no, I love that. It's especially true. What I noticed when I started, you know, hanging around with, you know, certain coaches, you say like successful coaches such as yourself and our mastermind group and other, you know, top coaches in the industry, what I kind of started realizing is that these are just regular people, like really no different to you and I. They've got, you know, they've had their failures, they've made stupid decisions, they're not the smartest people. Some of them are brilliant, but they're not, it's not like they're brilliant with an IQ of like 200. They're brilliant in their own way because they're leveraging their strengths. They know where their weaknesses are, they know where their strengths are, just like you listening to this podcast now. You've got great weaknesses, you've got great strengths that you can leverage, also weaknesses, just like all of us. But the point is, you're focusing on your strengths, and this is what gives you confidence. But when you're hanging around these other successful people, I think a huge thing of what gives you certainty is that they're regular people just like you or I. And when you understand that, and when that really hits home, it gives you that confidence to think, well, if they can do it, you know, if they can do it with all of they've had to overcome, like their background of, you know, they don't have the degree that I have, or they haven't even finished high school, or finish any English classes, and they're the top copywriter in the world. If they can do it, then I can. And I think hanging around with these top class people and realizing that they're just regular people, but they also do the things that they know that they should be doing. For example, hanging around other successful people and just doing the small things every day to be growing and more successful. That gives you your own confidence that, well, if they can do it, then I can. And I think I love that, Steve, that you brought that up, because I think it's so true. So if you don't have that confidence, then start hanging around with people that do have that confidence, and that's naturally also going to rub off on you.
Yeah. And then at the same token, all the people who are trying to take you down or tear you down, get rid of them faster than you can take off your clothes. Like, just freaking ditch them. No, ditch them. I learned that a long time ago, and it's just like, to be in a conversation for 5 minutes, someone who's just like tearing you down is like, that could ruin your whole week, and it ruins your confidence and your self-esteem. And it is an external thing, but it very affects you intrinsically. So yeah, and find really cool people like Luke and I to hang out with, or whoever, you know, you resonate with. If you don't resonate with us, that's fine. But people that you do resonate with, that is going to help you get to your goals and dreams. So cool, man.
Well, we are pretty
cool.
That
was awesome.
Pretty cool.
That was awesome.
Who wouldn't want to hang out with us though?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, we kind of went off a bit of a tangent. We've got a couple of minutes left, so let's like just go over those steps again. And I guess we'll lead into next episode. So the four steps again of the secret formula by Russell Brunson was, pick your dream client, find out where they hang out. Step three was, you know, pull them in with a lead magnet. You know, what's that number one question on their mind? If you don't know that, survey them. And step four was to find out what their big dream is, what their outcome, because ultimately that's where your coaching is leading them to help them achieve that. So what's that big dream, the big outcome, that big transformation that they want? Again, if you don't know that, then survey your clients. And I think, coming back to step three, what happens when, you give them your lead magnet, they maybe have a one-on-one session with you, or you have a conversation with them at a networking event, but then nothing really eventuates from that. You know, what do you do then? What do you do with the prospects that pick up your lead magnet, they put up their hand and say, yeah, I'm interested in that. So obviously, you know, they've got kind of like that pain that they want solved, but then they don't buy your coaching. Well, what do you do with those prospects? Well, that's what we're going to do. I'll talk about in the next episode. Is that right, Steve? We're going to do that one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. All right. So thanks again for tuning in to the Coach Marketing Podcast. Remember, if you kind of like what we've been discussing here, then hit the subscribe button, go to iTunes and subscribe, because that way we know that, you know, we're adding value. If you're not subscribing, and then I guess it means that we're not adding value, then we'll you know, this podcast won't last very long. So we need to know from you that you love what we're talking about and this is helpful. So for us to continue this podcast and to know that we're adding value, please go to iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. That would be hugely helpful. And it, of course, if you have any questions that you'd like answered in the podcast, you can either reach out to myself or to Steve. So I'm just Luke at ilovecoachingmagazine.com. And do you want to give out an email, Steve, or do you just want to leave it with that one?
You know what? I only talk to people who intervene with my list. So go to clientrushformula.com. And actually, if you want, go to the reviews. If you want to leave a review, you can. But then if you want to put a little PSA, here's my question, you can leave a question there too if you want. And then cool. We'll read all the comments and we'll answer your questions on the podcast as well.
Oh, I like that. I like that's a good. If you want a question answered, yeah, don't email me. Just erase that email from your mind. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, if you want a question answered, go and leave it in the review comments. So give, you know, whatever we're not telling you to leave a 5-star review. Just go leave whatever review you want. But then put a little PS and saying, hey guys, it'd be really helpful if you could answer, boom, this question, and we will answer that one for you. So go ahead and subscribe, leave a review, and you know. Tune in for the next episode where we're going to tell you what to do with prospects that, you know, pick up your lead magnet, that sign up to your email list, but they kind of, you know, haven't signed up to your coaching, or, you know, they've been interested, but then nothing has happened or eventuated. So what do you do with those prospects? That's what we're going to talk about next episode to get them converted into clients for you. See you then. Thanks again for tuning in.
Yes! Ciao. That was another episode of the Coach Marketing Podcast. And if you want to hear more from Luke and Steve, make sure you subscribe via iTunes, leave a review, and if you have another business colleague who you think might benefit from learning the latest and greatest marketing strategies in the coaching industry, please share it with them right now.